This program was first broadcast on Tōroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi, I'm Calvin Lyon representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program tonight. And you can log on to more information on this at www.findthelight.org or repeat on www.tōroa.co.nz or myself, Calvin Lyon, RD2 Waitati, 9085, phone New Zealand, 4822-03-4822-698. Righto. Well, we've been doing a various number of subjects on our program, fortnightly program here. We've gone through exploring the Bible study course, we've gone through some aspects of some old pioneer writings, and we've gone through some chapters concerning the present situation and the coming of Jesus Christ to be a future king of the world. We've done things on the Battle of Armageddon and then the coming troubles at the second coming of Jesus, and also what must we do to be saved. How do we get ourselves aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ and that wonderful kingdom that he's promised to him? How can we associate ourselves with him? The scriptures speak quite clearly that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So therefore, when we come to the subject, understanding the scriptures, we have to be, obviously, that God has provided this wonderful word before us through love. God is love. He created the world, and Genesis tells you he made it very good. Mankind fell, and he put that curse upon him that we all have. We've all inherited it, and Paul tells us that about what we have done from in Romans chapter, I'm just going to duck there to read that for you. I think it's in, lost it again, didn't I? Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Friends, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law, until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And then, nevertheless, he says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We're subject to that sin and death, friends. But Jesus was delivered for our offences and was justified and was raised again for our justification. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, whereby we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Righto, friends. We must associate, and there is no other way. It is faith that it might be by grace. But also, we know that faith comes through hearing the word of God. There's no other way out of it than that. For we all. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul tells in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But then, we've got to really get into the part of the start of Hebrews, where he tells us really, in chapter 11, the meaning of this wonderful word called faith. Faith, what is it? Well, here we go. It is the chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See? Without faith, in verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This speaks of the love of God. Every page, every verse, every word is written here for our benefit. God did not have to do one thing, but he created the world. He made it very good. He's given us a place to live here. He's provided everything basically for us. We've got to do a few things, sure. So we generally we should, shouldn't we? But he's provided everything. The weather, the land, the seeds, the plants. He's created all things, and he tells us clearly he's created all things. And don't let these modern day people with their evolutionary theory think this just happened with a big bang and something came out of a slimy mess and it divided itself and then it produced male and female and then it came from here, there, all these things billions of years ago. Wonderful thing time, isn't it? Friends, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, it tells us. And Jesus said also in Matthew 19, he's talking about different things that men and women coming together and marriage and things. And he was asked to something there, and I'll just give it a quick answer here. Matthew 19. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more clearer and surer than that. We know Genesis tells us all about those things, but of course we're so much more knowledgeable today. We don't need those early old biblical readings of mythology. Don't kid yourself, we need it all right. Because the word of God is follows through right from Genesis meaning beginning to Revelations as a revelation of things to come to pass that the Lord Jesus Christ gave John, the servant of God. We are in the midst of this, we're into the days of the not far off the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the scriptures before us to show us the wonderful plan that he's had as he's come through the nation of Israel through love after the fall. In Genesis 3:15, he speaks of the hope of one that would come and overcome, that would obey him, that would take away that curse for us. It's taken away by his obedience, but we still have it until he comes. We're still subject to sin and death. We associate ourselves with Christ. He's broken that curse, but we will only, he's broken it for himself and broken the way for us, but it is a process by our association, because if it was taken away, where would we need faith? We've been told to grow in faith and learn these things and prepare ourselves for this glorious age and the kingdom to come. Because in the book of Revelations, it tells us here, this is the judgment. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. See what he's looking at there? The lives of these people who were beheaded because they were witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. In other words, they had not worshipped things that were wrong, and the beast is shown in the scriptures here as an association that is antichrist. Neither his image, neither hath received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. It says, and they lived and reigned with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. Lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The kingdom of God. Jesus is that coming king. And the king shall be king over all the earth, we're told in the book of Zechariah at 14 verse 9 tells us clearly, and the Lord shall be that day shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. The Old Testament speaks so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, prior to his coming, he says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity. And then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and towards the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the south and half toward the north. there, half's going one way, half's going another way. It's having a valley down the middle that's going to go east and west. What is that? I'll tell you what it was, friends. It is a massive earthquake that is going to split Mount Zion like that. Eventually there'll be a marvellous temple built there. The last chapters of Ezekiel, from chapter 40 to 48, give us the measurements and all these wonderful details concerning that temple to be built and the worship that will take place in the kingdom of God. But Jesus will be that one that is king over all the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the kingdom, the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall no rain fall. And the family of Egypt would come up, there'll be no rain too, it says there. This is Zechariah chapter 14, wonderful chapter, isn't it? Also, just prior to that too, ask yourself this question, now who's this? In chapter 12 of Zechariah, verse 3, it says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all people of the earth be gathered together against it. It's slowly getting to that stage, friends. Slowly getting to that. And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord says down in verse 9, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Whoops, that sounds clear. Who's that? I'm not even going to answer that. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Let us not miss that ark or that boat or that opportunity. I've heard many people say, oh yes, this Bible tells them what's going to happen. Oh, it's going to be a terrible time of retribution. It's going to be punishment and suffering. Well, there is. There is. And that person is not wrong. But we don't have to be in with that suffering and that. If we accept Christ, we'll be ready for him when he comes, as it says in Romans. Them that look for him, shall he come with... Yeah, I'm just going to get that. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, but unto salvation. Aha. See? Got to associate ourselves with the things concerning Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. See, he understands what we go through. He understands the struggles and trials. For we only have struggles and trials because we're subject to the way of sin and death, and we're trying to be accepted. See, go into all the world, the apostles were told, and preach the gospel to every creature. And Mark says, everyone that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We do have to cross over, friends, from the way of Adam. We have to cross over into the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans tells us that in chapter 5, verse 12. I sometimes mix that up. Whereby as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for all have sinned. That's right. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That as death has reigned and life, a sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's spoken of in the wonderful baptismal chapter of Romans chapter 6. Friends, faith must be based on agreement with what God has revealed. Faith, hope and love is what Paul tells the Corinthians, the first letter at chapter 13. Faith, hope and love. Faith is evidence of things not seen but believed. We believe that. And we believe that that is a hopeful thing that's coming, something better. It is that kingdom of God that's coming, that's spoken of in Isaiah 40, 32, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 11, Psalm 72. If you've got a pen and you can write quick. Sorry about that. Talking about Jesus, and I will clothe him with the robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, he shall shut and none shall open. I'll fasten him as a nail in a secure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne in his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. The offspring and the issue, all vessels of small and quantity. Friends, these scriptures that talk about these, without always saying the person, because it's talking about a leader here, a king, even in chapter 11 of Isaiah, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a rod. That's like a seed or a rod, we can talk about it, or a branch. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He doesn't need those things. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign for the people. And it shall be, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The rest is another term for this kingdom of God on earth for 1,000 years, friends. Chapter 2 of Isaiah, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Wow, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, he shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That's it, friends. That is it that's coming. The Psalms. Psalm 72, or even we can go right at the very beginning. We don't have to go right through to Psalm 72. Talking about the kingdom, he says there, because of the kingdom of Christ. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves together, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The kingdom of God is going to control all evil and all systems, friends. He'll be king over all the earth, all nations. He will rule over. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, these people on the earth. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces. Friends, the kingdom of God is going to be pretty harsh on these ones that don't want to play ball with him. But they can accept the Lord Jesus Christ coming. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. It's in faith, hope, and love. And when we understand these things, that we need to... it sort of comes through that, as I was saying before, that Jesus went forth and taught the gospel of the kingdom of God. And in chapter 9 of Luke, we see there that the Lord Jesus Christ called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Friends, he's done that, and they've gone out. Synonymous terms, the gospel and the kingdom of God. As I don't like to emphasize it so much, but there are absolutes in the scriptures. You know, remember that all the apostles were more or less martyred for their efforts. It tells us that in the Revelations. But I'll read this part in Galatians first. He's sort of growling it really here in this letter, chapter 1 of Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, he's warning them here that these people are going to try and turn you away from the true gospel. He says, but yes, there is a true gospel. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And in fact, he's so definite about it, he says it in the next verse too, 8 and 9 of chapter 1, Galatians. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Friends, the law of Moses, there was a law unto the children of Israel. It tells us in chapter 3, verse 24, that it was a schoolmaster to bring them unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. And he says in verse 26, Paul does, he says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promises made to Abraham. And we can find them way back in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 24, Genesis 26. All these ones talk about the promise that was given to Abraham and his seed. In chapter 15 and verse 8 of Romans, it says, Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, and the circumcision of the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So he came to confirm those promises made unto the fathers. Mary was promised that Jesus would sit on the throne of David. That's marvellous. I think that he... excuse me. And sit on the throne of his father David. And then Gabriel the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob or Israel forever, and his kingdom shall be no end. It hasn't happened yet, friends. Ezekiel 21 tells us that the kingdom was overturned, and staying that way until he comes, he's right, it is. Those are the very words. It's coming. At Jesus' second coming. He gave a parable about going away in Luke 19, about going away then coming back. That was after they tried to make him the king, wanted him to be on the throne of when he was going up to Jerusalem. But he was arrested. He knew that would happen. The Old Testament scriptures tell us exactly what was going to happen to him. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 53 at your leisure sometime. It talks about the issues of him and what happened to him. how he was despised and rejected of men, how he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was cut off out of the land, out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he smitten. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, he was numbered with the transgressors. Really, he was numbered there with two alongside him too. But he took on him. Jesus took on the name of a representative of us. He represents us. He felt and he's lived like us. He suffered like us. But he did no sin. Therefore, he's a perfect victory. That's what it's called, the victory over sin and death, because God had raised him from the dead, because he did no sin. And now he's our representative. He's our mediator between ourselves and God, the man Christ Jesus. And as I was saying before, we'll be looking at the amount of effort that these apostles went through. Because John tells us about them through the revelation of Jesus that Jesus gave to him. He says, I saw thrones. He's looking forward here to the judgment. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. See, people have been beheaded. And we think we're persecuted today. They're beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast, neither had his image marked on our foreheads or in our hands. And their reward was, and they lived and reigned with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. What a wonderful privilege. Free from the way of sin and death, and a place in the kingdom. Great. It's wonderful. Can't wait. Sometimes when you get down to it on little things with human nature, how it gets us down. But we have an advocate. The Lord Jesus Christ stands by us. Help us to have faith in him. Faith, hope and love. Well, we're going to deal more with that next time. Okay? I think it's just about time to sign off. As I said, you can find further information on this at www.findthelight.org, or you can repeat this at www.toroa.co.nz, or myself, Kelvin Lyon. Give us a ring sometime on 03-482-2698, or write to me at RD2Waitati. It's a rural delivery area, 9085. Anyway, you continue your study. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And have some questions and answers. Questions for us. We'll try and have some answers for you. The time is short, really, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We might think the apostles had but they had Jesus with them there. Tell you what, they only had him for a while. They had him going away for a long time and they left on their own. We have him. We have the evidence, the scriptures, the foreknowledge of the sure word of prophecy, which Peter talks about, to show us that he's just around the corner. He's coming. They didn't know when he was coming. He was going away from them, but he's coming for us. Well, he's coming for them too, because they'll be in the grave and be raised. But still, in their lives, they had a whole lifetime ahead of them to work away and suffer. And that's how they got that suffering. They were beheaded, most of them, or something like that. Or some of them will be beheaded, some of them will be vicious death, I think. Peter, the Apostle Peter, has been talked about. He was crucified upside down. But anyway, enough of that. We're not always sure of all these things. But there's been a lot of work of early Christians and different people that have a love for God and searching those things. But remember that faith comes from hearing the word of God, and we must align ourselves with that gospel concerning the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Just one final wee thing I wanted to show you. In Acts chapter 8 it was. Yeah, I think it was 8. Chapter 8. When Philip started preaching the kingdom and gospel, and people wanted to join on, being baptized. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. See, they were baptized and they understood and they wanted to believe, faith, and then they had the workings of love to follow in the book, because God is love. Anyway, thank you and good night.
This program was first broadcast on Tōroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.